Shalom and happy Sunday afternoon to you. Bless the Lord. Good Shabbos or good Shabbat. Tony, are you on the call? Bless the Lord. I know he is. I heard him on there. Brother Max, are you on the call? Somebody just came on. Bless the Lord. Is that Tony or Max?
That's me.
Oh, hi, Tony. Tony. Brother Tony and Brenda out at Prayer Mountain on Sunday afternoons, they have a prayer meeting that they lead. And it's normally at the mountain, normally not on a call. But because we had a big snow here and we're not really sure, the roads at Prayer Mountain are crooked and they are shady. So we didn't know for sure, and already this was scheduled to be a call. So I am saying Shabbat Shalom to all of you Sunday afternoon prayers who are so faithful to meet out at Prayer Mountain, and to you, Tony, for leading them. Bless the Lord. But I did call Brenda and Tony and ask them if it would be all right if, since it was going to be a call anyway, I could use it to share something that has particularly blessed me concerning our last prayer call. And I'm sure, knowing some of you, that you are very aware of things happening and the great, great miracle that happened. But I do want to read you something. Our prayer call was on Wednesday, as you well know. And then a great and mighty intervention by the hand of God on the behalf of Israel happened on Thursday evening in Israel, Thursday night, and then Friday. Now, I'm reading from a post by a man named Hillel Fuld, F-U-L-D. Amir Sfarchi posted this. Lots of people posted this. But I thought that Hillel really worded it well. And so I'm reading from him, his post, his Facebook post. Since day one, I've been telling anyone who will listen that since October 7, we've witnessed so many miracles, it's hard to count. Some of these miracles are easy to recognize, like how well the beeper operation went down, or how successful we were at intercepting or detonating those hundreds of drones and ballistic missiles fired at us from Iran twice. Other miracles were harder to recognize. And then we have last night. Last night, and he posted this on Friday, was a miracle, the caliber of the splitting of the sea. I am talking about an open miracle that could and should have ended very differently. Do not ask me for my source. In other words, he can't reveal his sources, but he begins to explain what happened. Last night, that would have been Thursday night, a young lady noticed a suspicious object on a bus in the center of Israel. She reported it to the driver, who pulled into a station, got everyone off the bus, at which point the bus blew up and was completely destroyed. You may have seen pictures of it. It was burned to its very bones, bare bones. But that wasn't the end of it, Hillel writes, not even close. Over the hours that followed, an additional 4 bombs were discovered on other buses. Some of them exploded. Others were taken apart before exploding. Some malfunctioned. According to my source, a whopping 15 buses were supposed to explode this morning. According to reports, the terrorists set the timer for 9 p.m. instead of 9 a.m. You see, folks, it was planned by the terrorists that 15 buses at 9 a.m. in the morning during the rush hour when everybody's riding the buses would have exploded. In addition, back to Hillel, in addition to the 15 buses, 5 suicide bombers were set to detonate bombs on the light rail at the same time, all in the center of Israel. Now, Amir Sfarti brought out the fact that it's been about 25 years since the intifadas and the bus bombings. There haven't been any bus bombings in that many years. And Amir Sfarti brought out the fact that among these hundreds of prisoners that have been let go were bombers who had actually planned, and those terrible bombings that took place in the Intifada, they were in jail all this time. But now they're out, and they remember their old crafts. Now, back to Hillel. In addition to the 15 buses, 5 suicide bombers were set to detonate bombs on the light rail at the same time, all in the center of Israel. Where did this attack originate? Gaza? No. Judea and Samaria. In other words, those terrorists came from within Israel. Actually, from Jenin, which is in what the world calls the West Bank, not too far from Ariel and the places that we go. Now, here is something that he adds, which he cannot corroborate for sure, but it's something that he heard. I cannot tell you where I heard this, but all of the above was intended to be nothing more than a distraction, much like the incoming rockets on October 7, a distraction for the real invasions. My source says that as those buses and terrorists blew up, massive security and emergency forces were supposed to rush to the scene, at which point there would be a massive breach of the security fence, and many terrorists from Judea and Samaria would invade Israel and carry out an October 7th attack. Only this time it wouldn't be from Gaza, so it would be an invasion into basically every major city in Israel. Hallelujah. It is worth pointing out that for decades, he says the same thing here that I heard Amir say, or saw that Amir say. It is worth pointing out that for decades, we did not have any bus explosions in Israel. To do this deal and release terrorists, some of them were the architects behind the bus bombings during the Intifada, and all of a sudden, we're back to buses blowing up. All of this was to go down during rush hour and would have caused hundreds, maybe thousands of Israeli deaths. But he said even if what they were saying about the attack that was planned, even if that didn't happen and just 15 buses and 5 train cars exploded, that would have been a terrible thing. Bless the Lord. He said, who was this thwarted by? The IDF? No. The Mossad? No. Shin Bet? No. This was a massive attack prevented 100% by God himself and a very vigilant young lady who noticed the suspicious object. Whatever Hamas planned or didn't plan this morning, I would not be writing these words if their plan had come to fruition. But God had other plans. Hallelujah. This event might go down in history as one of the biggest miracles the Jewish people experienced since biblical times. There are two ways to live life. One is that nothing is a miracle. The other is that everything is a miracle. And so he quotes this scripture, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. But folks, you know that that really says he is good and his chesed endures forever. Now, I'm going to tie this in to our prayer that we were used by the Lord to pray Wednesday. The first thing I want you to do is have a clear understanding of the Hebrew word chesed. The Bible doesn't say, for he is good, and his mercy endured forever. It says, for he is good, and his chesed endures forever. Israel went out marching in their armies, singing, for he is good, and his chesed endures forever. At the dedication of the temple in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 5, they sang, Hallelujah, ki tov, ki leolam, hasdo. You hear the word chesed? Hasdo is his chesed, endures forever. I'm going to read you this definition of chesed in the Bible by Nelson Glick. Hallelujah. Chesed, a Hebrew word often translated mercy or steadfast love, is neither mercy nor grace, though both are a part of it. It is a word directly tied to one's being in covenant with another. It is an obligatory action because of a covenant relationship. Listen to that. An obligatory. You're obliged to keep this because of a covenant relationship. I'm still reading from Mr. Glick. Chesed is the conduct required in the mutual relationship between allies. The obligations and rights acquired through a covenant are translated into corresponding actions through chesed. Chesed is the real essence of brit, covenant, and it can almost be said that it is its very content. I'm reading to you now from Norman Snate. Chesed, in all its various shades of meaning, is conditional upon there being a covenant. Without the prior existence of a covenant, there never could be any chesed at all. In other words, folks, if you're in a covenant with someone, then it is assumed that you have obligations and that you will keep those obligations. And those obligations are called chesed. Israel went out to sing, out to battle singing, Hallelujah, ki tov, ki leolam chasdo, forever his chesed endures. But they were the only army in the world that could do so, because they were the only peoples in the world in covenant with God. Knowing that, they called upon him for chesed. Now, folks, back to our call, our Wednesday call. We give ourselves to the Lord. He uses us to speak into the earth what he wants spoken. Last Wednesday began with a scripture, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Now, you know that on my computer, I have four translations. I use the ESV because it's the one that more or less kind of fits us. We have covenant with God. So it reads, now, if you're just reading it in a Bible that's an English Bible and you don't know how to find the Hebrew word, it's going to say in the ESV, the loving kindness of the Lord never ceases, or mercy of the Lord never ceases. That's not it. The word is chesed. Lamentations 3:22, the chesed of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, and that word is mercy. It's not the same thing, chesed and mercy. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But folks, that is, if you want to read in the King James Version, or you want to read in the Amplified Version, and you knew that word hesed, that verse, Lamentations 3:22 reads, it is because of the Lord's hesed that we are not consumed. Now that's Lamentations 3:22. It is because of the Lord's chesed that we, and we in this particular passage is Israel. So that could read, it is because of the Lord's chesed, his obligation to keep his covenant with Israel, that they weren't consumed Thursday night and Friday morning. That's the way it began. You're going to find out when we go through what we have here that he ends the day in the noon prayer with the same idea. So what we're praying about, what he used us to pray about, there are many things that apply to us individually. In fact, the Lord said, listen to what I'm saying to each one of you. I found things that apply just to me and Migdal Arbel, and I'm sure they apply to you. But the overall picture of last Wednesday's prayer, the predominant message of last Wednesday's prayer, is that God has an eternal covenant with Israel and that his chesed was at work, and no matter what those terrorists plan, Israel was not going to be consumed. And so we went on down in the morning, and I hope you have your notes in front of you so you can see that what I'm telling you is true. I write mine in a book. Brenda puts hers on computer. But either way, if you go down a few, the second statement, actually, he said, I speak refreshment to you in many different ways in this prayer. My prophet and friend is with you to bring new strength and energy into you and all areas of your life, the life of my church. Now, I thought it was very strange that he gives us, I've really been studying David's life and the Psalms, been teaching it in 3BI. He goes to a scripture, 1 Samuel 17, 34 and 35, which is what David said to Saul before David killed Goliath. Saul was trying to get David to wear his armor, et cetera, et cetera. But David said to Saul, and he gave us, 1 Samuel 17, 34, and 35. But David said to Saul, quote, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Now, in my studies that I'm doing right now of David, many scholars believe that he didn't kill the lion and the bear until after he had been anointed by Samuel. But through that, now, the statement before that was that this prayer brought strength and energy. Supernatural strength and energy came upon David when his flock was threatened to deliver his flock and strike and kill the enemy. The next verse is John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. In other words, God's saying, I've got flocks. I've got sheep. And I do the same thing for them that David did. You see, we're praying these things. These things are coming into the earth so that God then can put clothing on them. In the afternoon prayer, the very first scripture, and folks, I wonder, because he gives us some scripture that absolutely calls to mind the great miracles of what he did for Israel. And I wondered about it. Lord, But I felt like even at the time he gave this scripture, he's telling us that he's doing again for Israel what he did in the past. Exodus 3, 7 through 9. That's the first scripture he gave in the afternoon. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. Egypt, then, is a type of sin or a type of captives or enemies of Israel. Then it was Egypt itself. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians. David said, I delivered those lambs. Supernatural strength and power came on David, and he killed the lion and the bear to deliver them out of the mouth of the lion and the bear. God says here, I came down and delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. But folks, last Thursday night and Friday, he came down and delivered them from the hand of the devil's own tools, the terrorists. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites. Now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Folks, since October 7, maybe not so much before, because they were so divided, marching in the streets. Great division. But now there's a united cry from the people of Israel regarding those who oppress them. And God has heard their cry. The last phrase there, now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Then he gave us another scripture. Isaiah 65, 22 through 24. This is really, this is confirming his future and his covenant with Israel. This is what he promised. They shall not build in another inhabit. He's talking about when he brings them home. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people and my chosen ones, shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Folks, Israel didn't... None of us knew, really, to call out for that great deliverance that happened Thursday night and Friday morning. He answered before we knowingly called, but in our prayers, and we're not the only ones. Oh, dear me, he's Jehovah of hosts. We must never think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But I am calling you today because I want you to know it is so important for you to report for duty. It is so important for us to let God use our tongues. And then so graciously give us the interpretations. Now, those are the first two scriptures. Here's the third scripture he gave that morning. Afternoon. What's the afternoon? Exodus 6, 6 through 9. Say therefore to the children of Israel, I am Jehovah, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am Jehovah, your Elohim, who brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. Now, he gives us two more scriptures. And then he gives us this statement. You did believe. I do care for you. Not to assume, but to know that you are my people. America. Israel. Church. Hallelujah. Then he gave us a scripture which says, my Father is, John 5:17. My Father is working until now, and I am working. He was working, folks. One of the scriptures, one of the statements before the end, I have answered your prayers. I am just. My word is living and knowing that you will receive all from me now. Now, the next to the last scripture, when we were on our prayer call together, it was given as Psalm 43:8. But Max and Quinn immediately got in touch with us and said it should have been Psalm 42:8. Listen. This is the last scripture, next to last scripture. The Lord will command his chesed in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. What did he do? He commanded his chesed, his obligation to keep covenant with Israel. He foiled their plans in the daytime, and his song was with them in the night. They were all rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Let us praise God together. I didn't do this for a prayer call of tongues and interpretation, but I did it because, well, next Wednesday I'll be at the NRB, and I don't know if I'll be able to. Of course we'll have the prayer calls, but I wanted to have a time when I'm just sitting in my prayer chair and thinking that, like Hillel said, this is as big as the parting of the Red Sea. He saved Israel. He brought them home. Hallelujah. His obligation to covenant he kept, and he used you and me, WWPs. He used you and me. Hallelujah. He used Max and Quinn and Brenda and all the ones I could name. Thomas Peace, I know you're on the call. Carrie, I know you're on the call. He used you. He used me to pray some prayer in the earth Wednesday that he could actually clothe with flesh, you might say, and bring into being Thursday night and reveal the horrid plan. And Friday morning, save the people. His chesed evident in the morning and in the night. Father, I just want to thank you and praise you that we had a part. I don't know how big a part, Lord. I know that your resources and your armies are vast, but you let us have a part. And I'm so thankful for it. I am so thankful, Heavenly Father, glorious, magnifical Lord and Savior. So thankful that you meet with us and let us pray together on Wednesdays. But, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, how thankful we are that you saved Israel, that we didn't have to hear of another thing even worse than October 7th, that those people didn't have to endure it, that their babies didn't have to be kidnapped like the Bebus babies, that they weren't saved for calamity. Oh, Father, thank you for protecting Israel's children from calamity. Thank you for protecting Israel's people from calamity. Thank you, Holy Father. Praise your glorious name. And thank you, Father, that we have been granted a covenant, that we are the sheep of your pasture, and that you know, we know your voice. We know your voice. And we know that you, who gave the supernatural energy and strength to David to handle that lion and the bear, oh God, you are, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And we can count on him to keep chesed with us. But I do know, too, Father, that David said, I am a chassid. That means I do my part. And so, Father, in the name above every name, we dedicate and consecrate ourselves anew, afresh and anew, like Chip preached this morning, to be that church, that champion church, to be those who keep chesed with you, who keep our part of the covenant, who are faithful to the covenant to keep it. Oh, Father, like you are faithful. Oh, you are faithful. None of us can be that faithful, but we are required, and you do help us to keep our covenant. Thank you, Father. Toda rabba. Ola rabba. Shonte ingango. Abalatione. Kafra kohale mitio no gombre. Kili gadashka. Ejene matwa. Ejene matwa. Ejene manatwa. Bless the Lord.